The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF. Because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone. Sound test. Hello. Is the sound okay? I think it is. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? New Guy Prime says, what is the evolutionary purpose behind looking dumb? Is it so the rest of us can avoid the dumb ones? I don't know. There doesn't have to be a reason. Perhaps it's just accidental that intelligence can be guessed based on the appearances of the face. Perhaps there's a link between facial development and cranium development and brain development. There doesn't need to be a signaling, an intentional or evolutionarily advantageous signaling of intelligence. Perhaps it's just accidental. You could have theories about why it's evolutionarily beneficial for people to communicate that information. I don't have a strong position. Wow, I didn't know that this was a sport.
All right, we're going to go with Tom. Tom, good luck, dude. Attempt the perfect pump. So close. He just got a perfect pump, baby. Woo-hoo-hoo. Tommy. Tommy with the perfect pump. All right, we're going to go with.
What is this? People are making really anything into a sport these days. D. Thomas says Messi needs to get out of the house. He is worthless there. No, I think he's one of the great politicians who actually takes seriously his job in voting. He's the kind of politician, if everyone was like Thomas Messi, we would have less assumed ways. Like, people are signing these gigantic bills with the assumption that, oh, well, it's going to be okay. Doesn't matter if I don't understand 99% of where the money goes. And this has to stop. This needs to be fragmented. And Thomas Messi is a guy who, on principle, very often votes no because he didn't get what he wanted in those bills or because those bills are too abusive. D. Thomas says he should run for governor of Kentucky. He is powerless in the House. Well, I don't know that your only function is to be powerful. Of course, if you keep abandoning power because you find that one is not enough, you're never going to get to two. I would like to get 5, 6, 10 Thomas Massey. And eventually there would be enough power to flip decisions. And there are times in history where I think his vote was essential. I don't know why Trump goes after him, because he's one of the real politicians who truly have the respect of the people for what he does. He's one of the rare politicians where people will stand behind him to defend him. All of the other politicians, they have their little crews and circle jerks, but there is a massive, genuine respect for Thomas Massey because he's been saying no very often. Trump doesn't understand the base of his popularity if he goes after him like this. There is no function for Trump to do that. I don't know that his vote will even change the outcome anyway. So why is Trump going after him? Perhaps to signal pro-Israeli, pro-APAC signaling by Trump, perhaps to kneel even further to APAC-related interests. End of the line, Joel says, Sam Hyde had a good quote, about 20 seconds long, on this video clip yesterday. It was about the purpose of a book at 29 timestamp on YouTube for your information. YouTube. 29 timestamp. What does Sam Hyde have to say?
Not in a book. A vehicle that is designed to last 1,000 plus years. That's the purpose of a book. A book is for when you have something, you thought of something so good that it should be taught or learned or thought about 1,000 years from now. It's not something to be like how to bomb the U.S. government. It's not something to be undertaken lightly. Which is-
Absolutely. I agree. Very good quote. That is how I approach books. That is how I wrote The Revolutionary Phenotype. Absolutely agree. By the way, thank you so much for Laser Fash to have sent the
tip stuff
at the end of last show, $40. Thank you so much for your generosity. For those who would like to support the show, use the Streamlabs link in the description below. On-screen tips at Streamlabs, JFG Tonight tips. Streamlabs is my favorite way to receive support for the show. There's a very dark moment happening because there are people being killed at this point for what seems to be some degree of ideological punishment. There is a campaign of harassment against the InfoWars people. Terror. The InfoWars team is being targeted. Alex Jones is facing credible threats from the left daily. Host Jamie White was murdered outside his home, and now host Chase Gazer home was just swatted. The same threats Musk and his Doge team are facing. Let me tell you, I think there is a bunch of organized terrorists among our societies, and I believe they are probably the one who attacked my family many months ago when I was forced out of the internet for a couple of months. It's organized terrorism, and here we have InfoWars slowly directing their coverage from what they used to do, which is pure conspiratorial crap, to they're more and more into white identity, and they are more and more into Christian identity. You can see that they're moving toward this direction, and immediately they're getting aimed with the same things that me, Nick Fuentes, have been targeted with, which is threats to our lives, threats to our family. Yesterday, so what do we know about this host, Jamie White? Jamie White appeared to be regularly engaged in his work at InfoWars. Not a super well-known reporter, but he was doing small reports here and there. He had a Twitter following of about 16K yesterday. So what happened is 2 days ago, I believe it was 2 days ago, he worked late at InfoWars, and InfoWars, very bad strategic decision to be in Austin, Texas. That is what I would call, you are on the other side of the front line of the war, because you may think you're in a Republican state, but you are in Texas. You are in a Mexican state, really. And especially in Austin, it's a very
Kill
liberal area.
F. Mary E. Girl Edition, Ashley St. Clair, Isabella Maria DeLuca, Sarah Stock.
I would say Mary. I don't know what was the sense of your question. Should you be killing them or marrying them? Absolutely, marry them. Isabella Maria De Luca, by the way, seems like good wife material for a guy out there. Now, she's given that she's overdone in terms of makeup and looks, and she sells her body on the internet, I would be careful. You're probably going to overpay for this kind of woman, in the sense that she is probably high maintenance, but she seems like wife material from a perspective that she feels that she is a Christian. I believe that she wants a stable marriage, so a very high quality. Now, as far as Ashley St. Clair, no, that is a woman who actively pursues self-damaging single mom life. This is the red flag of red flags. If you go for Ashley St. Clair, you go for trouble. Now, there is the Elon approach, of course, the pull in, pull out, the, you know, send the rocket to the sky, park it back into the parking garage. The Elon approach is viable, but it would be the only way in which I would interface with someone like Ashley St. Clair. The InfoWars team is being targeted. So, yes, Jamie White, what we know is 2 days ago, he works late. He finishes his work, goes home. He gets killed in his parking lot. This looks like an execution. I have two hypotheses. It could either be a political execution where someone was actively waiting for him and targeting him and knew that there was this regular pattern where he was walking back to his apartment from the InfoWars studio. Or it is a parking attempt at theft, a random theft, and the thief decided to shoot him as part of it. I believe it's 50-50. I don't know which one it is, but it's very sad. And given that there are other acts of harassment being pulled against InfoWars, it leans toward the hypothesis that perhaps he has been killed not randomly, and that it was not a random act of thievery like they want us to believe with Seth Rich, that it was truly a targeted assassination. I hope that the police can do something. Now, Alex Jones was saying that the police is telling them they have problems with their DA, constantly releasing into Austin people who have a super long rap sheet of crimes. They repeatedly commit crimes and they get re-released on bail, waiting for their trial, or that kind of stuff that the leftist DAs are pulling. That is a real problem. We really need to fix this in society, this idea that our entire application of the law can be subverted by someone like Soros who wants to cause anarchy in the society. Absolutely damaging for society.
Women.
Homat talks to woman, explains something very important. I really like this one.
Women do not need men to get bank accounts, houses. They have careers on their own.
No, you still rely on men. It's just indirect now. See, men have always been in between women and the real world. That your office job is not real life. Here's another depiction of that. Here's men going out to face danger and build things on the outside in order to create a safe space for women on the inside. This is how it's always been, and it still is. You just don't understand that because you're too comfortable. Men still do all the hard work. If all women stopped working right now, we'd be fine. If all men stopped working, everyone would die. And that is, again, because men make all the food and build all the houses and the walls, and they used to guard the border. I guess they gave up on that. Women have never done that and can't. Men still do all of the necessary things to create the space for you to have your girl bossing fun time. The way it works is that women are always really happy for men to do the hard, dangerous work until times are really good, until we build something better than this. And then you look around and you go, hey, men have more than us. No fair. You go to the government, which writes some laws for you, which makes you equal. And then you are disgusted by men who are equal to you. So without equality laws, it's very easy for women to find men they respect. And with equality laws, it's very difficult. And then everyone tells these men that they're worthless. And then they go, okay, well, I don't want to be this guy, so I'll just be this guy. And then they never grow up and they never do anything. And then you hate them even more. So your girl bossing crap is just not going to last very long because Women cannot do what men do. You can't do that work of building the physical world. And what you're doing now is just sort of taking it away from men and having it for yourself without giving them anything back, which makes them go away. And then, like, imagine if you had to build a house. It's not going to happen. And then when men go away, then there is nothing in between you and bad stuff. So you might want to stop being so mouthy.
Absolutely. So well said. And I've said for a long time, that that we had to reach the point where women would get raped on the everyday before we fix society. We have to have 100,000 rape a week. Like, you go to the grocery store, oh shit, you get raped. You drive back from your rape. I mean, you're on your way to the rape station and you get raped on your way. Like, oh shit, I stopped at a stop sign. I shouldn't have. I had my doors unlocked. I got raped again. We have to reach the point of constant rape for women to be exposed to the actual world as it stands when you abandon males. And I believe that what he describes here is what will happen internally much quicker in leftist states than it will happen in right-wing states, because men will be harassed by the family courts and the illegal procedures and the seizing of their property by the state. They will run away. They will reconcentrate into areas where there's less of this. And you're going to have women left to their own device. And what do women do when they are left to their own device? They invite immigrants. And what do the immigrants do? They rape them. Rodilison says, women are kept safe behind a male firewall and then get angry at that firewall for protecting them. No, McAfee, you are why I am unhappy. Yeah, exactly. And so, and what women do politically when they organize, they make jobs harder for policemen. Eventually, policemen aren't even able to do their jobs, or they're not confident in the fact that they will be protected if they do their job. Look at the Derek Chauvin, completely dropped under the bus by society, left to rot in jail forever. So we need to reconnect the natural threat to the everyday life of women. And you can do that either with alligators, crimes, rapes. I'm not saying go rape the woman. I'm saying the rapes will happen. They will happen naturally. You just have to let the system converge to that point. Trump says he will talk to Putin concerning a ceasefire. So there is currently discussion of a ceasefire between Ukraine and Russia.
I'll talk to Vladimir Putin, yeah. I want to get, look, that's the other, it takes two to tango, as they say, right? So hopefully he'll also agree, and I really think that would be 75% of the way. The rest is getting it documented and, you know, negotiating land positions, etc.
So you'll talk to him this week?
I think so, yeah. I'll talk to Vladimir Putin.
Now, here's a problem. You have, this is again, unilateral deals all the time. We had a unilateral deal between Russia and the US, apparently. You go to Zelensky, Zelensky doesn't want it. Now we have the opposite. We have a unilateral deal between Ukraine and the US, talking about a ceasefire. A ceasefire only advantages the weak in this situation. And the weak in this situation is Ukraine. There is no advantage for Putin to take on a ceasefire because Ukraine is in big shit right now. Ukraine is faced with a lack of soldiers. They have to literally kidnap soldiers to keep the flow of people dying at the front line. They are unable to do any sort of advances. So now they're trying to punk Moscow by sending drones and doing random damage on residential buildings and bureaucratic buildings that have nothing to do with the war. Ukraine is in a very bad position. And so Vladimir Putin had already said that he wouldn't accept a ceasefire unless there would be some advantages for him. He had said, after the talks in Saudi Arabia, Putin revealed Russia's straightforward conditions for ceasefire in 2024. Full Ukrainian withdrawal from new Russian regions, and Kiev vows to stay out of NATO. So if you don't meet those standards, I don't think there will be a ceasefire. Now, the advantage here for Putin is if you can have a voluntary withdrawal of the current standing frontline armies of Ukraine, then at least you're going to be able to recuperate all these little areas that you needed, that were taken by Ukraine. You'll be able to complete their overtake at low cost in terms of soldier life and money. So that is an advantage. And if you can already show good faith in promising not to be part of NATO, then we'll advance on the front of negotiation for a long-term peace deal. But if Zelensky is not ready to do these concessions, then it won't happen. Blimpy Survivor says Ukraine wants to have its cake and eat it too. I mean, Ukraine is behaving like they won this war. They think they can impose conditions. Putin, in my view, should use the current moment to just advance in Ukraine because he could capture much more. I don't think it would be super hard for him. I think it would just take massive bombardment and, the front line is collapsing already on its own and there's not even a push. D. Thomas says, their problem is they already stole all that money we sent them, so they can't keep their society running without our cash. Oh yeah, exactly. Absolute shadowy move that was done throughout the Ukraine war. We will never know exactly where this money trickled down. There's just people who will be randomly rich and they will show up capable of buying all sorts of stuff and they don't deserve it. It was all stolen from the American people. New Guy Prime says this could have been a strike by Zelensky alone. It doesn't seem to have been effective. D. Thomas says, you think they saved enough to keep paying their soldiers, let alone their pensioners and government workers? Oh no, Ukraine is just a desert of nothingness. People are going strong against Martyr Maid. I love Martyr Maid because he's kind of he's the guy who appeared as an historian of World War II on Tucker Carlson. And he's kind of doing the Holocaust denialism routine, but he's doing it in the most subtle way possible, and he's pulling strings that are very close to it without ever really saying it. He is basically an historian who engages with reality, which is very refreshing. But he's triggering those people, man. They are all going after him because recently he went on Joe Rogan also. He said in his podcast with Tucker that Churchill was the chief villain of World War II, not Hitler. And then also said that being genuinely right-wing has been made illegal in Europe when the only political parties banned in Europe are Nazis. Interesting. Then he refused to debate Andrew Roberts, a Churchill historian and biographer, because Daryl lifted all of his arguments from David Irving, whose Nazi apologia has been discredited for decades, and Daryl can't actually defend Irving's arguments himself. He can only regurgitate them on podcast when no one challenges him. He also tweeted a picture of Hitler strolling through occupied Paris, suggesting that was better than the admittedly retarded Drag Queen Olympics opening. Nazi apologist is what he is, and Niall is absolutely right to call him one. So they are really triggered by this guy. Blimpy Survivor says his last podcast episode was quite good, I don't watch his stuff regularly, but I see his tweets and he's going after these people. There is a tweet that triggered a lot of attention toward him. Let me try to find... Oh yeah, so they were accusing him of doing this tweet where he says, "We didn't discover any of the extermination camps. They were all on the Soviet side of the line. We found work camps full of people starved and dying of typhus." And someone says that those are neo-Nazi arguments. He says, "Everything I wrote in that post is factually true and easily verified. And there is nothing offensive about it. It's weird to imagine these crazy people scouring the internet demanding with total earnestness an immediate explanation for your dastardly behavior." So yeah, I think we're faced with... I was talking recently about the movements of Jews in this period and how there were a lot of Jews in Eastern Europe. They moved during the war. Some of them were part of the Soviet forces moving forward into the mainland toward Germany. And there is something that happened there. Some stories that are available from only the Soviet side. I wonder to what extent they are propagandist fabrications. It immediately raises my doubt if you tell me that something was only true east of where the USSR made their way, because who was controlling what the USSR was finding? Who was controlling what the USSR was saying? Ultimately, you have a big incentive for people to present themselves as saviors and as heroes of a dramatic situation, and it's very important to distinguish what the English and American forces have seen from their own eyes and have documented and what has come to be known as historical facts. So Martyr made an absolutely genius guy that is raising some of the tough questions these days. I like where he's headed, and the fact that he's triggering some people like Konstantin Kissin is excellent sign that he's in the right path. The Don't Die Index. Don't Die. What is a Don't Die score? Someone was sending me this. Don't Die is rooted in entropy, the final boss of the universe. Entropy can be measured, and therefore everything has a die or life score. A cigarette costs 11 minutes of life. India's pollution costs citizens 4 years of life. Loneliness and social isolation can cost 5 years of life. Whether a human, a city, or a civilization, everything has a die score. It's the probability of failure in the battle of entropy. Capitalism, everything can be assigned a value. Don't Die, everything can be assigned a value. The impression is... The idea is not bad, but to measure it as a life length score is not very good in my view. Our fight against entropy is not with life extension. Our fight against entropy is with reproduction, and it's measurable in evolutionary fitness. Don't Die, whether you live from your age 60 to age 80, doesn't really matter to the world, really. It's really just an extension of a kind of side effect of... The side effect of life is that you've created a whole body to make those babies, and accidentally this body can live a little longer than it really needs to. That's the way to see death, in my view. And so to measure that, oh, cigarettes will shorten your life, I don't think it's a sign that you win against entropy because you're not smoking cigarettes. You win against entropy if you fuck. Doubting Thomas sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, "Just got a Rumble account today. Hope you are getting the ad revenue from the erectile dysfunction and dementia pill ads Rumble has been spamming me with while watching your show. I do. So there is money. That is new to me because back in the YouTube days, I was making free money, you know, free money from just the fact that people were watching my videos. Now I learned that on Rumble, it's also the case. Like, I've just started the account 2 days ago. I've just started rebuilding this account. And yesterday I made 76 cents in ad revenue. Now it's pretty good. It's pretty good for, you know, just starting, just moving my current Odyssey audience, small audience show. 76 cents yesterday is pretty good. I can see this becoming, just like in the YouTube days, you know, hundreds of dollars per month easily. Her father's reaction found her gamer nickname.
What does all that mean? What does it mean? On my knees. God damn it, Kennedy. Jesus Christ.
What can you do when your daughter becomes an internet whore? Well, what does it mean on my knees? It means your daughter has been sucking dick just like her mother. Mukbang video star dead at 24.
Efekan Kultur, a popular TikToker from Turkey known for his binge-eating mukbang videos, has tragically died at the age of 24 due to weight-related health complications. With 174,000 followers, Efekan became well-known for consuming excessive amounts of food on camera, a global trend that has gained popularity since the mid-2010s. His health had been rapidly declining since December 2024, leaving him bedridden and dependent on a machine to breathe. His mobility issues, caused by his size, prevented him from even visiting his mother's grave after her passing a year ago. Efekan was discharged from the hospital to continue treatment at home, where he ultimately passed away. His death is part of a growing trend of content creators losing their lives at a young age due to extreme eating habits. In China, 27-year-old Pan Xiaoting died in July 2020.
Unbelievable. What the fuck? Yes, the modernity has dangers. Modernity has dangers. Nick Frontes was making an excellent point that you cannot be against woke and DEI and then be all kneeling toward pro-Israel and against anti-Semitic speech and pro-Jew. Because this whole positioning of elevating the Jews above everyone else is the original DEI. Absolutely correct what Nick Frontes is saying here.
Eventually, Trump supporters and conservatives have to confront this contradiction. You cannot claim to be against woke, against DEI, against hate speech laws, in favor of free speech, in favor of the First Amendment, while you are punishing schools because of so-called anti-Semitic speech.
This is so basic. If you want to frame yourself as a leader of freedom of speech, you can't do the whole, oh, we're going to find these Arab protesters in universities and deny them their visas. Absolutely ridiculous.
It doesn't work that way. J.D. Vance can go to Europe and wag his finger about Europe's democratic deficit or how they're not a pro-free speech civilization anymore when his own government is punishing schools because the faculty or the students are expressing criticism of a foreign state, or even for that matter of a people. I would add, anti-Semitism, however you define it, is protected under the First Amendment of the Constitution.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. And so I said to remember historically what has happened. Jews were the first subject of DEI. That is how Jews took over institutions, by self-favoring, by thinking, oh, well, we're in minority. We need to have more of ourselves into power. They've done it so much that there are places that are completely controlled by Jews. What has come to be known as DEI/wokeness is merely the alliance between Jews and the other minority categories against whites. It was an offer to share the stolen pie with them for a while. The reason you had a push for wokeness starting in 2014-2016 is that the Jews have accrued enough power and they were looking to make alliances. That is why you started at some point seeing intellectual Jewish intellectuals on black podcasts that no one is watching. And I was like, what the fuck is happening here? Well, what's happening is they have tried to share power with the blacks. And you had black people named, you know, what was it, Harvard CEO, president of Harvard, or president of a couple of universities. The blacks were being put forward as a show of confidence, like, hey, we can share power with you. Once you secure our ethnic power over our U.S. institutions, we're going to share it with you, and it's going to be good for you. And we're going to, as a comedian once put it, was it the guy who made the Willy Wonka comparison with COVID? He once said, "Let's fuck Whitey together." That was the plan. Fuck Whitey together. The plan was to have systematic biases, pro-black, pro-Jewish, in institutional selection processes, affirmative action, that would lead white people to be confined, and especially white heterosexual males, to be confined out of institutional power. So never forget that you can't say that you're against wokeness if you then want to apply wokeness principle to censor anti-Israel speech in universities. Thomas Massie is an example of the current bug of the Republican Party. The current bug is that the Republican base wants a true fight against the bureaucratic state. Elon kind of gives them a taste of this. People like Thomas Massie give a genuine taste of this. But you have, at the same time, a Trump who wants to brand as efficient, who wants to brand as the firing guy, who wants to brand as we're cutting down on costs at the federal level, but is never willing to walk the walk completely. He's always putting the brakes. He has recently put the brakes on Elon and said, slow down, we want to keep the talented people. No, if they're talented, the best thing they can do for America is if you fire them from the federal workforce and you send them be talented in the private sector where they can do actually something useful. But the example that we saw today is Trump going at war against Thomas Massie for voting no to a... And on top of it, Thomas Massie has the big side of the stick here because he's voting no to the continuation of Biden default budget. After 2 months of Doge propaganda, no one believes that a continuation of current funding is a good thing. Are you fucking insane? Trump is being self-contradictory here. Elon is being self-contradictory. They want a signed continuation. Since we can't agree on new budget stuff, let us just continue the flow of money as they were in proportion, largely, from last time. And last time was under Biden. So you are essentially telling me that despite all of the Doge stuff that you claim to have done, all of the fraud that you claim to have discovered, you are essentially giving me a Biden-like budget. You're telling me that the world will not radically change under Trump. And Thomas Massie appears to be the only one capable of standing and saying, no, we're not going to do this. POTUS is spending his day attacking me and Canada. The difference is Canada will eventually cave. That is a good one. And he is a stubborn guy, and I think he may be right. he may be stronger than Canada, because when Trump attacks Canada, no one comes to the defense of Canada, except Canadians, maybe, on social media. But when people, when Trump started attacking Thomas Massie, you had massive pushback, even in the MAGA base, even in the Trump supporter base. Anna Mattson was saying, going after Thomas Massie was the worst move Trump could make. I voted for Trump 3 times. I gave him every opportunity and went into this term with hope he would really change. I had hope he would be transparent, want to balance the budget, and put America first. Instead, he is hiding information, advocating for an increase in spending, and putting Israel and BlackRock first. So many Trump supporters were so quick to say Vance should run in 28 without seeing how this term played out, what it's playing, and it's not looking good so far. I stand with Thomas Massie. Because, yeah, I do think the bill passed, D. Thomas. He only needed to convince 2 other Republicans to vote no to hold it up and couldn't. Yeah, it's too bad. It's too bad that it passed, but to be attacking Thomas Massie after the fact, and it passed, so there's nothing to be gained in attacking Thomas Massie. What you really have here is Trump overextending his kneeling to Israeli powers, because the one thing that people don't, the one thing that Thomas Massie attracts troubles to him is the fact that he's one of the only politicians not funded by AIPAC. He's one of the only politicians that says no to AIPAC money. He's one of the only politicians saying it's a problem that people have AIPAC handlers, literally Jewish handlers, helicoptering around each politician, always telling them, hey, that's not what Jews want. Unbelievable that we have a man of this quality in the Congress and Trump finds a way to attack him when he doesn't need to. He says, thank you to the House Freedom Caucus for delivering a big blow to the radical left Democrats and their desire to raise taxes and shut our country down. They hate America and all that it stands for. That's why they allowed millions of criminals to invade our nation. Sometimes it takes great courage to do the right thing. Congressman Thomas Massie of beautiful Kentucky is an automatic no vote on just about everything, despite the fact that he has always voted for continuing resolutions in the past. He should be primaried, and I will lead the charge against him. He's just another grandstander. Well, we'd like you to be a little more like a grandstander, Trump, because we kept being sold the idea of a balanced budget. We're not headed to a balanced budget with these continued resolutions. We're headed towards something that will look exactly like a Biden presidency, just with some makeup on it. Thomas Massie was saying, I'm not voting for the continuing resolution budget. It's cut, copy, and paste omnibus this week. Why would I vote to continue the waste, fraud, and abuse that DOGE has found? We were told the continuing resolution in December would get us to March, when we would fight. Here we are in March, punting again. WTFO. What the fuck? O? I don't know what O means. But I totally side here with Thomas Massie. He is absolutely correct. Why not get a government shutdown and actually have a balanced budget? A government shutdown would be extremely favorable right now to the DOGE stuff, because when everyone is home and no one works, and no one can get paid, you can more easily identify the parasites. You can identify what you truly don't need. Someone sent me those reflections about Roger Penrose, about Gödel's theorem and AI consciousness. Roger Penrose says AI will not be conscious. Roger Penrose is very bad when it comes to consciousness. He may be a great physicist. I'm in no position to judge is mathematics and all. But when he talks about consciousness, he attributes a magic property to consciousness, and he doesn't justify it, and it's the basis of him being so wrong in this interview. We can listen to a little bit of it, but the relationship between Gödel's theorem and consciousness is flimsy. Gödel's theorem is the idea that any mathematical axioms will have truths in what they imply that cannot be proven from the mathematical axiom itself. And as Roger Penrose lays it, he's very good educationally when it comes to mathematics, because he says one way to understand the Gödel theorem is as follows. Imagine you have a set of mathematical rules. Now imagine you invent the Gödel sentence of this mathematical set of rules, which is, I am a true sentence that cannot be proven by those rules. That is the Gödel sentence. I am a true sentence that cannot be proven by those rules. And you can build it, you can construct what this sentence implies, what it looks like, and you can conclude from it, because of the property of self-reference in the sentence is talking about itself. So that's one of the features of a Gödel sentence. A Gödel sentence has self-reference built into it, and it also self-affirms the truth of it. And you have no choice but to conclude that the sentence is true under these axioms. But you also must acknowledge that you could not prove that sentence from the axioms. DK Shadow says, it's the model modeling itself. Well, that is all good. But when you try to superimpose this on the conception of AI and consciousness, this is always where it goes wrong with Roger Penrose. Yes, the Gödel incompleteness theorem is super interesting and true, but it has nothing to do with fucking consciousness. And in fact, consciousness has nothing to do with axioms and the truth of mathematics or whatever he's claiming there.
He looks at them all and says, yes, that's okay, that's okay, that sure, if you follow those rules, it is true. So that means you believe that the rules only give you truths. So therefore it is true that it's not provable by the rules. If it's false, you see, then it is provable by the rules, and therefore it's true. So it has to be true and not provable by the rules. I found that amazing.
But still I don't understand why AI cannot create its own rules.
Because it doesn't know that they're true. You see, that's the whole point about the Gödel theorem. The whole point, as far as I'm concerned, about the Gödel theorem is, how do you transcend the rules? And that's what you do by understanding them. You understand them, why they're true. It's not that you use the rules, but you understand why use of the rules only gives you truths. And that's how you can prove things which go beyond.
See here, there's a sleight of hand here. You understand them. Whoa, 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 what's this new property? What is this new property that is not part of mathematics, which is understanding? Well, understanding has built-in assumptions here of human exceptionalism, that somehow when we hold in our head an axiom, it has more truth to it, and we have more capacity for true verification onto this axiom than an AI does. Not true. The AI can do everything that we do. Everything that consciousness does while juggling with an ID or juggling with an axiom, this kind of true verification performance that we could call, any AI can do that. There is nothing consciousness does that's special in understanding axioms or setting them as, or detecting them as truly true.
Beyond the rules, by knowing why they're true.
Now, we don't know why they're true. We affirm their truth. Euclid made a couple of affirmations and derived Euclidean geometry from it. As it turns out, our universe is not even Euclidean. So you could say that under certain regimes, especially at high speed and with relativity, Euclid's axioms are not true. They are still true enough to be of use in certain domains, like most of what we do at low speeds. DK Shadow says, understanding the difference between truth and falsehood. Truth is consistency. Truth is consistency, and empirical truth is consistency between a model inside your mind and the outside world. The model doesn't have to be held by a conscious being. It could be a model written in computer networks, electricity, virtual networks of all kind. Truth is correspondence and coherence.
And knowing why they're true, well, what does it mean? Well, it means you understand them. What does understand mean? You've got to be conscious of them.
See, it makes a circular self-justification of, well, understanding means conscious. And AI doesn't have consciousness, so it will never understand. Well, I say no. I say anything that your consciousness does with an axiom could be reproduced and could be specialized into series of steps that even a non-conscious algorithm could do first. Secondly, the very creation of your consciousness is a virtual experience that is created by networks of electricity in your brain, and we could recreate those networks in an AI. We don't have to. The skills of the AI and its consciousness are unrelated. Unrelated. We just happen to have consciousness. It happened to be better for us. It just so happens that we have not cared so much, or we have not been able to give it to an AI yet. And the day you can do that won't change much. The AI won't be much different. It will only be able to report truthfully that it has consciousness, period. That's all. DK Shadow says, New Guy Prime, sure, but we understand we are breaking the rules. Global says, when did this stream start? I start every night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you make a small donation on Streamlabs. The link is in the description below. Martyr Maid, absolutely amazing these days, triggering the Jews on Twitter all day, every day. Mahmoud Khalil, so that's the guy who got deported by Trump. It's not clear. Has this guy committed any crime? Because maybe he's been in those university protests. And maybe those university protests constituted some sort of trespass. Maybe not. I don't know. Normally, it seems to me that you're supposed to be able to express First Amendment protected speech on campuses. It's a public area, just like you can even at a grocery store, really. But then if you block the sites, then you get accused of trespass. D. Thomas says he is accused of organizing multiple Columbia University protests. Martyr Maid was saying Mahmoud Khalil could have been protesting, even rioting over any issue except Palestine, and had no problem. The unique standard is not organic, but is due to the power and influence of the Israel lobby and Jewish organizations. And everyone knows it. That is absolutely correct. And it leads me to this DEI alliance. I talked earlier in the show about how DEI wokeness is properly seen as the alliance of the Jews with other minorities in a desire to share the stolen pie of white civilization. Now, let this trickle down because it's very important. Now, the Jews happen to be very bad. They are extremely bad teammates. Okay. Except if you're a Jew yourself. But if you are from another race, being in an alliance with the Jews means some betrayal at some point. And I believe we are at a moment of betrayal here, or at least at an attempt of betrayal. You had the Jews basically trying to side with the DEI wokeness, blacks, and Hispanic to an extent, didn't really catch on. Even the far left anti-war liberals of the academia, even to an extent, tried teaming up with the Muslims in being critical. And you have some Jewish academics who will be critical of what Israel does to Palestine and who will say, oh, this is not because they're Jewish. It's because they're right-wing Jews of Israel. And so you had this whole loose alliance under the umbrella of the Democrat Party of, we're going to fuck Whitey together and we're going to share the spoils of war, and we're going to take random black people on the street basically and start acting as if they're physicists. Literally, we're even going to take women. We're going to take women, black people. We're going to say, hey, you are our new scientific stars. And so we end up with all these incompetent people from our airport, air control traffic towers up to our academia in science, and they have no clue what the fuck they're doing. So the DEI alliance is dissolving. And as it dissolves, what you will see is there is a progressive rejection of all those allies. And what will be left as the core of institutional power in America will be the Jews. Basically, what you will find out is that the Jews were using their black cardboards and their woman cardboards and their everything cardboard. But behind the cardboard was still Jewish power. This is the moment of history we're in. So it's very important if you want to understand what's happening, if you want to understand how it unfolds in the next 3-4 years, you have a stripping down of the fake allies of Jewry. And they will feel betrayed. They will side with the Democrats, of course, because minorities can't help it. They will continue being leftist. But they will have been betrayed by the Jews. And what seems to be what the Jews are trying to do is to form a new neocon conservative, white conservative to an extent, basis for their future alliance. And you can see this in even a Brett Weinstein this morning siding with Thomas Massey. So basically they are trying to do a rotation where the Republican Party is their natural home, where the Republican Party is the one that kneels the most to Israeli interest. And it kind of goes naturally because they've been fomenting so much racial revolt within the left that the left has become an unusable vehicle for the Jews. Because the Jews need expansion, they need genocide to survive in the Middle East and to spread in the Middle East. And so the left has become a golem that is uncontrollable to their advantage. So what you have is a rotation and a betrayal here. And I would say as a white person, I stand in front of all of this and I'm like, nah. I will still be left without a political home here. The left will still hate me. The blacks of the left will still hate me for being white. The new neocon conservative aren't really conservative, and they're really just conservative when it pays off in terms of Jewish interest. So we are still stuck with a puppeteering political system here that is rebirthing itself, that is taking a new shape, but that suffers from the exact same problems as we had. And Thomas Massey is kind of a schism. He's kind of a test subject. Because what is wrong with Thomas Massey? Of course, Trump can say whatever he wants about Thomas Massey voting no on this bill. It's not the problem. The problem is Thomas Massey is aligned with a base that is non-sympathetic to Israel, that doesn't dig into the Handler Jewish culture. And in fact, there's a sign on Thomas Massey's office, political office. And it says, if you are coming here to convince me of something for a foreign government, you may be in violation of this statute. in other words, he's the only politician who's truly taking serious his oath to the U.S. Constitution and who sees himself as a defender of American interest against the foreign influence of the kind that is waged by AIPAC and Israel. So, Thomas Massey is an important figure here because his rejection would mean the victory of Jewish the Jewish betrayal, the new Jewish alliance. And if he does get primaried, it will mean that the Republican Party is not a fit home for truly white conservative ideas. And it's very important, the games that are happening right now, because I see an increasingly high number of right-wing commentators who are making the talking points that we were making 10 years ago. It's fascinating. Haven't you seen it? I mean, random blondes, random like bimbos just talking like Nick Fuentes. And it's like... Isabella Maria De Luca just calling out with her boobs, calling out Israeli interest. There's something very special happening, and this new Jewish alliance causes a schism in the Republican Party because the Republican Party was the natural home of alt-right thinking. It was not the home in which alt-righters or call it whatever you want, identitarians were feeling totally welcome. But it was the natural home because it turns out that right-wing politics is well aligned with the interest of white people. Yuki Maru on my Discord was making an invalid point, I believe. He was saying, I strongly disagree with you, JF, on the Massey thing. The issue is not standing up for principles. The issue is that he is standing up for the wrong principles. The most important question is, does this bill benefit my people? White people. What benefits my people is not waste. Well, here's the thing. The reason there's a natural alliance between white identitarian and conservatism is because the state is draining white people wealth. White people are perfectly fine having success in a free economy. So whenever you grow the government, you take from whites and you give to other people, inevitably. And sometimes you're going to take from the white male and you're going to give to the white female or to a pool of average females of all races. But no matter what you do, it's going to take energy away from the white male and it's going to give it to someone else. So to me, there is no contradiction between being pro-white and being anti-government or pro-liberty. Shameless Trump shills from Catard to John Doyle have come out in support of the president's unprovoked attacks against Congressman Thomas Massey. Yeah, so you can see these useless tards of the MAGA movement. Haha, Trump is firing on... Look at this. You can see the mask falling here. You can see what's the problem with Laura Loomer. Because, see, a lot of people ask me the question, what's the problem with Laura Loomer? What's the problem with her being Jewish? Because on so many other things, she will side with us. Well, the problem is when you come to a schism issue, when you come to the test, when it starts to matter to Israel. What do you have? Why are so many Trump supporters so eager to defend Trump hater Thomas Massie? Just a reminder, he was eager to have an opportunity to shoot Trump supporters to death on January 6th. You're not MAGA if you support this. It's depraved. He is a pseudo-intellectual contrarian cosplayer. So first, it's not true that he wanted to shoot Trump supporters to death. He just said that once he was isolated in his office and there was kind of trouble around Congress, he was happy that the policy was allowing him to have a gun on him at all times. That's a reasonable position. That doesn't mean he wanted to shoot Trump supporters. It means when there is mob chaos, you feel better with a gun. But yeah, that's the problem with Laura Loomer. That's the problem where if you allow too much Jewish subversion of your movement will be nothing at the end but kneeling to Jewish interest. See, we're winning culturally. Look at Matt Walsh. Now, I don't even need to make these talking points anymore. We don't even need a GJF to say these things. We have a bimbo blonde journalist talking for pro-white talking points. And we have Matt Walsh at the Daily Wire having her back.
You know, this melting pot stuff is almost beside the point anyway. Even if America is a melting pot, however you define melting pot, that does not answer the question of identity. Melting pot is not an identity. Let's just agree with Sam Cedar for a moment, just for the sake of argument. It's a melting pot. Fine. Melting into what? And for what purpose? Like, that's the question, Sam. What are we melting into? Why? Imagine that I told you, let's say I told you about an exciting new organization that I just founded. I said, I just founded an organization. You're going to love it. And you ask me, well, what is the organization? And I say, oh, it's an organization with a bunch of different kinds of people. It's a melting pot of people. Do you see how you would still have absolutely no clue what the hell sort of organization it is? I would not have explained anything about what the organization actually is or why it exists or what its purpose is. Yes, it has lots of different kinds of people. Great. Why? What are they doing? What is the context? That's the question that Sam cannot answer. He's debating national identity, but he has no, absolutely no conception of what our identity actually is. That's why when Sarah asks him, well, what do you really not think it's that? What do you think it is? He can't answer. According to leftists like Sam Cedar, our country's identity has nothing to do with religion, ethnicity, race, tradition, or borders or laws. Right? Because he would say that illegal aliens who come here are also just as much Americans as anybody else. So that means that borders and laws also don't define the country. If that's the case, what is our country exactly, Sam? What is it? What does it mean to be an American? What is our identity? Leftists like Sam Cedar can't answer that question. It's the what is a woman problem all over again. So they would rather launch ad hominem attacks or filibuster than give you a coherent answer because they can't, and they know they can't. Guys like Sam, they can spit and sputter and tantrum all they want, but it won't change the facts here. And the fact is that, again, America was founded by Christians of Western European descent.
Boom. I know it was a little long to get there, but, you know, yeah, correct. True. And it was going well. It was going well for a while. And then the left and the Jews, to an extent, started an attack. An attack against this founding stock. And things have not been going so well since. So why not restore America and make America great again, like back in those days? The Department of Education will begin sweeping layoffs tonight, with about half of its 4,400 employees expected to be let go. Employees are being told to vacate the building by 6 p.m., So that's good news. But again, we need to get to it. It needs to happen. It needs to happen so that Trump doesn't flail in a week from now and says, oh, there were lots of good people in there. Let's bring them back. There were lots of good people. No. Make it happen once and for all. Just fire them all or fire half of them. And also, you know, that they have to lock the door at this point, because we're learning that some people are getting an order at the USA to burn the documents, to burn all paper trails. And we need to lock these people out so that we have paper trails, so that we can show the extent of the fraud that has been happening. It's not enough just to fire them, because you fire them, by the way, a lot of these people will be collecting massive amounts of money. Some of them might even be financially better being fired in a way. So they're running away with lots of money still. I'm not happy about this. Department of Education. Oh, John Galt has sent $50. This will make everyone very happy in the JF family. People are asking me, JF, do you have the budget to do this repair, that repair? So if you guys are generous like John Galt, that is really amazing to me these next few days. Because I'm being asked to repair luxurious repairs of the ceilings and floors of the home. John Galt, $50. Thank you very much. He says, it's Baby Fwen. Thanks for all the content, JF. Baby Fwen. Is it supposed to mean something for me? Baby Fwen. Was this a handle you had in a past show? Maybe back in the days? Back in the early streaming days. Breaking 9/11, Department of Education announces that it's cutting 50% of the workforce. Today's reduction in force reflects the Department of Education's commitment to efficiency, accountability, and ensuring that resources are directed where they matter most to students, parents, and teachers. Yeah, just whatever. Take all of these salaries and just give it to parents. If you have extra money, just give it to parents. And they will make so much better decisions with this money than you could as a secretary in Washington, D.C. How can you improve the schooling experience from Washington, D.C., really? Here we have a little fight between... We're seeing more and more Israeli tourists in Asian areas. Picking up fights, sometimes with black people, sometimes with Arabs. Here, I believe there's a fight between an Israeli woman and a black woman. And you have an internationally vetted observation. Here, two black women hitting on the same Israeli woman. They always get in team. I haven't seen how does the fight begin. So it begins with a push. It begins with a black woman possibly pushing the Israeli woman. And now jumping onto her, a man tries to separate them. We didn't get to see the Khazar Milkers. I would have liked to do some boob commentary tonight, but nothing was observable. My girlfriend gave me permission now to comment on boobs, and so I have a new ability to review boobs on the show. The original super chat was asking me about Ashley St. Clair. What was it? Sarah Stocks.
F. Mary E. Girl Edition. Ashley St. Clair. Isabella Maria DeLuca. Sarah Stock.
So Sarah Stock, is it this blonde woman? This blonde woman who was making the argument with Sam Cedar. Yeah, Sarah Stock is very beautiful. Let me try to find representative images. Ugh. No, that is not Sarah Stock. Sarah Stock, video journalist for Rebel News. Okay. Yeah, I guess.
It's kind of sad how just like everything else in our culture, Valentine's Day has been subverted so that it's now a holiday basically centered around fornicating with people that you're not married to, expressing this idea of love as some mushy-gushy, fleeting feeling that can go away at any time.
Yeah, so Sarah Stock is looking good. Looking good. I would say she has the type of beauty that my girlfriend has. It's a little fake. It's a little overdone in terms of makeup. The blonde hair, not my style, you know, especially when you can easily see that it's fake blonde hair. And of course, she is dressed way too much like a liberal hippie. You know, Halloween representations, sorcery, witchcraft, Rebel News, siding with jewelry. So a lot of red flags. But in terms of just pure physical beauty, she is looking good. She is looking very good. I would say this is the level of beauty of my girlfriend. Except, you know, it's very important how a woman speaks. And when Sarah speaks, she doesn't sound super smart. She sounds like she's slurring words. She has a bizarre accent that's kind of annoying.
But of course, Valentine's Day was originally to celebrate the feast of Saint Valentine, a man who secretly married couples under the Roman Empire when marriage was illegal, and he was eventually...
She's coming with those factoids, like, that she's reciting. The problem with Sarah is... she has to be more charming in her delivery of words. But she doesn't have the class. She doesn't have the intelligence. I do feel that I'm talking to a lesser mind when I hear her talk. Bass Saxon says, oh, what she is, a Dale blonde. Intake back everything I said. A fake blonde. Intake back everything I said. Well, there's no such thing as real blondes in America, you know. 99% of what you see is fake blondes. And so it's a status signal, really. I have extra time to care about my beauty and to care about looking about like a Swedish woman. That is what it tells you when someone is blonde. As a last news item, we learn... that Trump says he will label violence against Tesla dealerships as domestic terrorism. I agree. It's pretty much what it is. You know, it's really leftist pissed off wanting to punish a private company for what Elon Musk is doing. It is a form of terrorism that's developing. And some of them are just attacking the owners of Tesla across the nation. It's a good thing that Trump is thinking about labeling this as domestic terrorism. But there are so many other things that are also domestic terrorism that don't get labeled as such. Magister Temple says, trash our skateboard magazine shirt, but likely ain't rough and tough, typical bimbo. Bimboid. Okay. Thanks for your comment. That is it for tonight, boys. If you'd like to support the show, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar and contribute to the show on a monthly level. We will be on Rumble full-time going forward, 5 days a week at least. Much love and sleep well.